Father, bless these words to our hearts. Give us thoughts from your throne, from your heart, Lord. Anoint these words, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you would turn with me, please, to John 15, starting in verse 13. The Word of God says, "The greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds strange to me. You're my friend if you do whatever I tell you to do. Well, that sounds a little conditional, don't you think? I mean, really. I don't mean to be flippant. You're my friend if you do whatever I tell you to do. And when I was a young believer, I used to have a little bit of trouble with that verse, because it just somehow didn't seem like a friendship to me. But really, what other options are there? If you think about it, what other options does God have? Now, in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13, God said, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself." Now, this tells me something about God. It tells me that there is none greater than God. He is above me. I am not his equal. He is greater. And there is none greater than he. You see, how else could it have worked out? Unless two walk together, be agreed, how can they walk together, right? You cannot walk with another person unless you agree with that person. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? You see, God cannot submit himself to me. I have to submit myself to God. So I must do whatever he commands. And that is the only way that I can be agreed with God. And then I am his friend. It is not possible for God to submit to me because I am a man and he is God. He cannot bring himself to be something that he is not. He is not a man and he cannot change. So he cannot do anything but say, unless I do whatever he says, then I am his friend. Because then I walk with him, because then we are agreed. And when I walk with him, then I am walking with my friend. Now, the portion that says that a man laid down his life in the Greek is hinatisten sukin autothai, and it's an objective clause with a non-final use of hina in apposition with the ablative noun tautis, and the second aorist subjunctive, active subjunctive of tithemai. Did everybody get that?
Oh yeah. Okay,
good, let's continue. Now, what this is saying is actually pretty sweet. When you take a look at the grammar of this and then the meaning of the individual words in the original language, it becomes something very sweet. The word life there is suke. Now, normally there are two words commonly used in the Bible, bios and zoe. But this doesn't use either one of those. Bios is biological life. Zoe is life from God. But this is a different word. This is suke. And it means the life that is breathed in. Now, The word friend is philos. And it means, it can be translated as friend, but the meaning of the word friend is one of the bridegroom's friends who on his behalf asked the hand of the bride and rendered him various services in closing the marriage and celebrating the nuptials. That is the friend that God is talking about. That's the friend. So unless it is a breathed in life, and I am the friend of God who asked the bride for him, her hand in marriage, and I help him with the marriage ceremony. Who helps with the marriage ceremony but the best man? And the word if ye do, the words if ye do, ien poite, it's a condition of third class with ien as the present active subjunctive, if you keep on doing, not just spasmodic obedience. It's according to Robertson. What is this saying? That word life, that breathing in life. See, in 2 Timothy, this has been on my heard a lot lately, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is it comes by the inspiration of God, a breathing in from God. All scripture is breathing of God. That's what the word inspiration means, is God breathed. And it breathes in. It's the life that breathes. To lay down the life is talking about being a good shepherd, about shepherding. It does not, people think of this verse and think it means dying for someone. No, it means living for someone. Unless I lay down my life, I lay down myself, I lay down my desires, I lay down my hopes and my dreams, then I do not have the greatest love. And I live for another. That is the greatest love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John chapter 10 and verse 11. He says he is the good shepherd, and he giveth his life for the sheep. You see, the Savior died to be my Savior. I like that. I think it's a song, right? He died to be my Savior, but he lives to be my King. He is the Good Shepherd. It is the Good Shepherd that we get to know. It is the Shepherd. It is the King. It is the Lord of glory that calls itself my friend. You know what I want to hear when I die? I want to hear that I was his friend. I cannot think of anything sweeter to hear from God than to be called his friend. The friend is the one of the bridegroom's friends who on his behalf, asked the hand of the bride. On behalf of God, he asked the hand of the bride. Like, what is that talking about? It's talking about inviting them to the table. Right? Beckoning them to come in. It is talking about, will you be the bride of Christ? It's talking about going out onto the street and saying, will you come to the house? Will you come to the table? Will you be the bride of the Savior? You see, why is it that the feet of those that bear the gospel are beautiful? Because they are asking on behalf of their friend for the hand of the bride. That is the friend of God. The soul winner is a friend of God, because he asks on behalf of his friend. In the same chapter, in John 15, in verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment. Listen, this is my commandment. This is the commandment of God, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you love one another as I have loved you. Do you want to fulfill the law in 1 John? Love one another. The fulfillment of the law did not say do a lot. It did not say be a lot. It said love one another. Oh, certainly, if we walk with God and we enter our call, we may end up doing a lot. But then we may end up doing nothing at all. For example, Amy Carmichael, 20 years on her back. She could not get out of bed for 20 years. She had a map of China pasted on her ceiling, and she prayed every day for 20 years for China. She turned to be one of the greatest missionaries to China. Yeah, would it be something if you proceeded with 20 years of prayer? You know what prayer is like? Prayer is like a battleship firing its guns into the enemy's territory and softening their defenses. Just like, that's how D-Day started, right? I mean, all like, what, how many thousands of ships and, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of battleships lobbing shells onto Normandy beaches, softening the defenses of the enemy. Can you imagine if they did that for 20 years?
What beach?
What beach? What defenses? Like, what can stop prayer? Command ye me the works of my hand, the Lord said. What can stop prayer? Nothing. No wonder she was a great missionary. 20 years of lobbing shells into the enemy territory. She was a friend of God. She knew His heart. That's why she prayed. You know why people don't pray? I think there's two basic reasons why people don't pray. One, they don't believe it works. And two, they don't know the heart of God. But she knew the heart of God, boy. C.T. Studd, with double kidney disease, told by the doctors that he's never going to go back on the mission field. He has spent his life in China and India. He was a great missionary, went back to England. He had kidney disease at 65 years of age, or 68, I don't remember now, 65, mid to upper 60s. And the doctors say there's no way you're going to go, there's no way you're going to go back out on the mission field. And he had a vision for Africa. And so he went around to the different churches to try to raise funds for his missionary journey, and nobody would support him because he was ill. They said, you won't survive there. We're not going to give you money to go. We're just going to give you money to commit suicide if we do that. But C.T. Studd knew God. He said, fine, if they're not going to give me money, I'm going anyway. God, you're greater than they are. You're greater than my need. So C.T. Studd packs his stuff. And in those days, missionaries packed their possessions into coffins because they knew that they would die there. The average life of a missionary in those days was a year and a half in Africa. C.T. Studd goes out on foot, double kidney disease. Doctor saying, you're going to die. And he goes to Africa. walks on foot, takes him about 2 years to get into the heart of Africa, stays for 18 years. Thousands of people got saved. People used to walk for days on end, several days through the jungle just to hear this man preach. C.T. Studd knew the heart of God. He knew who his Savior was. He knew the love of God. There's so many people like that. People we never heard of. These poor people like the Chinese prisons. Those precious believers. I mean, they're there today. Countless numbers of them. Who won't deny the Savior. They know the heart of God. They are the friends of God. My friend will never turn his back on me. God will never turn his back on me. And the friend of God will never turn his back on God. And if he fails, he'll just get right back up again. If he fails 70 times 7, Peter, right? 70 times 7 in a day, he'll get back up again and he'll keep walking with God. How do they do that? They do that in Galatians 5:6 because faith works by love. When I know the love of God, when I know the heart of God, when I know the love that He has for me, then I can do anything. Because I can do all things through Christ. And I'm energized by the love of God. You know, Moses, God spoke to Moses as a man speaks to his friend. This is in Exodus. That God spoke to Moses as a man speaks to his friend. A friend of God speaks to his friend. And Abraham trusted God, and it was called unto him as righteousness. In Romans, he trusted God. And God called it righteousness. He was a friend of God. In James chapter 2. See, a friend trusts. See, I cannot trust if I do not know you are my friend. But if you know, I know you are my friend, then I can trust. And Abraham trusted God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. The love of God is unmatchable. The love of God is not something that I can comprehend. It is simply something I receive. And according to my capacity, I receive it in greater and greater measure as I grow as a believer. But it's something we will spend all of eternity learning, because it is so far beyond our ways. His ways are so far beyond our ways. His thoughts are so far above our thoughts that we will spend all of eternity learning His way and His thoughts. And those who have suffered with Him, like we talked about last week, will eat at the tree of life in Revelation. And that is there for one reason, so they may receive the hidden manna, so they may have greater understanding of the love of God. You know what I like about God? If you allow Him to bless you, He will bless you again. I get rewarded in heaven for allowing God to bless me on earth. Go figure. I get rewarded in heaven for all of eternity because I allowed God to bless me on earth. The love of God is unmatchable and it is unsearchable. It is beyond our understanding. It is beyond all measure. the love of God is why God cannot deny me, because He would have to deny Himself. He would have to deny who He is to deny me. Even if I am not faithful, yet He abides faithful, in Hebrews. Even if I am not faithful, He abides faithful, because He cannot deny Himself. That is why we are in Christ. That is, He loves us so much, He puts us on the throne with Him. He calls us His bride. He loves us so much that He comes after us. While we were yet His enemies and yet dead in sin, Christ died for us. This is the love of God. You know why we can be friends of God? Because God is a friend of ours. Why do we love Him? Because He loves us. Why am I faithful to God? Because God is faithful to me. Why can I think with God? Because He understands my thoughts. He understands my heart. He understands the things that I have gone through. He is not a God who cannot be touched by our infirmities. And so I can be faithful to Him because He is faithful to me. I can love Him because He loves me. I can be His friend because He is my friend. I can walk with Him because He walks with me. He will never forsake me. In the original it says He will never, no, never, no, never. Seven times, never leave me nor forsake me. Seven is the number of God's completion. He will never forsake me. But what is my failure? What is my failing? What is my weakness? He understands it. And He knows exactly how to touch my heart so that the goodness of God will lead me to changing my heart and my mind to agree with His heart and His mind. See, when the Word of God sets you free, when the love of God touches your heart, when the purity of God cleanses you, when the blood of God takes care of your guilt, when the mercy of God becomes your frame of reference, when the grace of God becomes your life, then you can be the friend of God. And He calls you His friend. See, if you keep My commandments, what is us commandments? If we love, why do we love? It's because He first loved us. You see, it's really kind of a really simple arrangement. It's not really so complicated after all. You are My friends if you love one another as I have loved you, because this is My commandment. But how do I enter that commandment? You are My friends if you allow Me to love you. If I allow God to love me right where I am, then I am a friend of God. Amen?